Hello there. My name is Cheryl, and you are listening to the Jedi Fangirl Podcast. Hey, guys. So, I am back after a while. So, let me explain this a little bit. So, I had started this podcast earlier this year. I have, obviously, you guys know, I'm on Twitter, I've got a website, and I decided to start a podcast. And I decided to start it by talking about each one of the 11 Star Wars live action films. So my first episode, or first official episode, kind of was about The Phantom Menace. We worked through all of the movies. We talked about Phantom Menace, the other prequels. We talked about Solo. We talked about Rogue One. We got through the original trilogy, and we talked about Return of the Jedi. And then the coronavirus hit the US and started hitting more places around the world. And that was around the middle of March. It kind of started to affect me when, obviously, Ace Comic Con, which I have talked about quite a bit here on the podcast, and I was very excited about, but started to affect that. They started to decide that they were going to use some precautions, hand sanitizer, no touching the guests, stuff like that. And then after a lot of debate and discussion, they ended up canceling it because it was such a big event. There would be a lot of interaction with people. It was just too big of a risk. So they ended up canceling it, which I think was the right decision because honestly, I wasn't really planning to go anyway. And about, actually, the week that that was supposed to happen, California, where I live, and specifically my county and around the area that I live in, started a lockdown. We call it shelter in place out here. And so I couldn't leave anyway. So when all of that started, obviously this has had a big impact on our world, our country, how we all live our lives. Most of us are trying to stay home if we can. Lots of places have closed temporarily or even permanently. A lot's changed. So I got some severe anxiety when all of this first came down, and I have kind of some anxiety issues anyway. It's nothing severe, just something that pops up every now and then when things that don't normally happen start happening. I lived in Florida for a couple of years and was there during Hurricane Irma. Had to deal with that. I've never had to evacuate because of a hurricane before, and I had to then. And then last year, actually right after I got married, came back from a trip with my husband, and we live in California now, and we saw a wildfire on our way home, and that was actually the Kincade wildfire, which ended up forcing us to have to evacuate because of that too. And so some of these things, and just kind of, I mean, my mother is a very anxious person, and it just, anxiety is just something that I know I'm gonna have to deal with. And when all of this happened, it was just so scary. And obviously, it's nothing like most of us have really seen in our lives. And I know it's affecting everybody, but I had some severe anxiety at the beginning of all of this. And I had days where it was just scaring me to get up in the morning. And so because of all of that, I was sleeping less, I was eating less. I was texting friends for support all the time, and thanks to some good friends, thanks to the measures that the governor of California and our counties out here have taken to try to keep our count of coronavirus victims low, I feel better, and I'm not as anxious as I was. I still suffer from it now and then, but I'm definitely not as bad as I was, but that is what kept me from podcasting for several weeks. And I'm just being honest with you guys. That's really the only way I know how to be. So just letting you guys know what I was dealing with, what I went through. And so where I'm at now, I have worked through most of that anxiety, like I said, mostly for the time being. I'm still kind of scared for the future. I don't know what's going to happen. None of us do. This has affected us all. And we really are all in it together because we all have to deal with it in some way or another. My county is still sheltered in place, as is all of California, as far as I'm aware. We have a shelter in place until May 3rd, which is a few days from now, but I've heard that that's going to be extended until the end of May, so I'm still here. I work from home anyway, so it hasn't really changed my job a whole lot. But still at home, still not going out. So none of that's really changed other than I've worked through my anxiety for the most part. Thank you to some friends of mine that have really helped me through it. And I also want to thank you guys, especially those on Twitter that follow me, that pay attention to my podcast, and that just kind of pay attention. And you've checked in and you've been really supportive, and I really appreciate that. Since this all started and since I stopped podcasting, I've still been relatively active on Twitter. I've participated in a few live streams, some YouTube videos, which have been fun. And thanks for the invitations and thanks for letting me know about those. I'm glad to still be a part of the community. And I'm just really glad for the support from you guys that have said that you missed the podcast. And so I don't know. Am I ready to come back? I don't know if I'm going to be back every week. Maybe that's a good possibility. I enjoy it. I'm glad you guys like the podcast. And so starting with this one, I might be back weekly. I'm planning on putting this one out on Friday, my normal day, back when it was coming out every week. So hopefully maybe I can get back into that. So for today, this podcast episode kind of started because I have been wanting, ever since Rise of Skywalker came out on video, to sit down and watch all of the sequel trilogy, basically back to back, watch The Force Awakens, watch The Last Jedi, watch The Rise of Skywalker, and just watch it as a trilogy. And I've been wanting to do that. And so I thought, well, that would be a good thing to do and to do a podcast about it. So instead of the previous episode, instead of being like the previous episodes where I talked about one of the movies, I'm going to talk about all three of the sequel trilogy movies today. And I'm also going to talk about them as a trilogy because I think it's more interesting to look at it as a trilogy. So today we are going to be discussing the sequel trilogy. So again, this is going to stay the same format. We're going to go through the sequel trilogy. We're going to talk about it. And then at the end, I'm going to talk about some Star Wars news and kind of wrap up. So thanks for listening, guys. I'm glad to be back. So let's just jump right into it. All right, let's talk about the sequel trilogy. So episode 7, 8, and 9. This is my first time actually watching all three of these movies together since I have seen The Rise of Skywalker. At the end, I think what I'm going to do is go through and discuss kind of each one of the episodes individually. And then at the end, I'm going to talk about some things that are a bit different having seen The Rise of Skywalker and watching them all together as a trilogy. So, first we're going to talk about Force Awakens. So, I think the biggest pull about this movie, what I really loved about it, and I think everybody loved, even if you don't like the trilogy, even if you think that these are just the Disney Star Wars movies or the Disney trilogy, and you don't like it, I think that everybody still enjoyed seeing Luke and Leia and Han again. And I think that knowing that those characters were going to come back was kind of the most exciting thing about knowing that we were going to get some new Star Wars films. And so each trilogy, the prequel trilogies, the original trilogy, and the sequel trilogy is its own story. And I think even though I know it's the Skywalker saga, each trilogy is very, very much its own story. They definitely work better alone, as well as three standalone trilogies. I know that, you know, we all sit down and we do a marathon and we watch all of them, but they are just better viewed as standalone trilogies. And Solo and Rogue One are better viewed as Star Wars stories, separate Star Wars stories. Because you have the prequel trilogy, you've got a story about Anakin Skywalker and about Obi-Wan Kenobi and Padme Amidala. And it's their story. They are the three main characters. The story is about them. And then you have the original trilogy. And yes, Vader, Anakin Skywalker is in it. But it is very much the story of Luke and Leia and Han. And then you have the sequel trilogy. And yes, it has Luke, Leia, and Han in it. But it is very much the story of, well, it's, you know, it's funny. Because there's three characters in, three main characters in all of the movies. But there's, those are three main characters. Because when I think of, it's funny, when I think of the sequel trilogy, I always think of Kylo Ren. But actually, I feel like the three main characters are Poe and Finn and Rey. Kylo's the villain. And I think that that's kind of, we'll talk about this a little bit maybe when we get to The Rise of Skywalker. And that's maybe the problem that people had with the way it all ended. And Kylo was redeemed, obviously. But the story is not his story. Just like the original trilogy is not Vader's story. Yeah, he plays an active role in the movie. But it's not his story. It's Luke's story and Leia's story and Han's story. It's their story together. His story, Vader's story, was in the prequel trilogy. That's why I like the idea of viewing these as three standalone trilogies, and I think they work the best that way. And despite what people say about how The Rise of Skywalker basically took everything from The Last Jedi and just retconned it, I disagree with that because I think that The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi actually work better after you've seen The Rise of Skywalker. I think it all works better together. It's not my favorite trilogy. I don't think it's the best of the three trilogies, but it does work and I do enjoy watching them. So one thing that I really like about these movies, the sequel trilogy. So in The Force Awakens, you have a Han and Leia reunion. In The Last Jedi, you have a Luke and Leia reunion. And the one thing that I feel like we missed out on that I don't like is that there was no Han and Luke reunion. And I'm kind of sad about that, but at least we do get to see our favorite characters again. Sorry, Dan, I'm yawning again. It happens. Get over it. All right, so questions that I had. I watched these movies this past weekend, and there's some things that came up. I live tweeted it, all three of them. And some things came up. So some of this stuff, if you follow me on Twitter and you paid attention, then you might have already seen these questions. But they're kind of just things that popped up when I was watching the movies. So one thought I had was, after we have seen The Rise of Skywalker, or after we've seen The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker, we know that Kylo or Ben and Rey were a dyad in the Force. That's what they called it. So my question is, when did Kylo feel that? Like, when did he feel some kind of strange connection with her that was different? Because watching The Force Awakens, there's the part where he is trying to get the plans to find, or not the plans, huh, the plans, yeah. Going back to the similarities to the original trilogy, he's trying to get the map to Luke Skywalker. And he finds out that the map was put into the droid, put into BB-8, and he gets report from his staff saying that the droid stole a freighter. He's like, what? He's like, the droid, he actually says that. He says, the droid stole a freighter. And they tell him that the droid was with a girl. And he's like, what girl? And it almost seems like then, like there's something, like he feels something or he knows something or he's questioning it. Like there's some connection there when he finds out about this girl. And I think that they kind of reference it a little bit more and they go into more detail in the novelization. I've read it. It's been a while. So I'm just curious, like, when did he first feel that connection with Ray? When did he first feel this dyad with her? Was it there when he said, "What girl?" Was it that early before he even met her? Was it when he encountered her outside of Maz's castle? I mean, that's the first time he met her in person. Was it potentially then? Or was it not until he was on his ship when he tried to read her mind? Did he feel something then? Obviously, we know that they didn't start having these little telepathy sessions or whatever with each other until The Last Jedi. But I feel like there was some connection with her to begin with. He tells her he never hated her, it seemed like. He told her at the end of The Force Awakens, even when they're fighting her, he's like, "You need a teacher." He wants to teach her. So I'm just curious when he first felt that. In The Force Awakens, so changing gears a little bit, something I wanted to talk about were some of the smaller characters. I love some of these characters. They're just so much fun, so interesting. Some of them you can read more about in the books. You guys know I'm always talking about reading the books because you find out so much more about all the characters and what they're thinking versus what they are doing in the movie. So one of them is Maz Kanata. I don't think she's really been in any of the books that I've read so far. Maybe she is, and I just haven't read that book yet. I love the fact that we get to see her again in The Last Jedi, only really in a hologram, but we get to see her again in The Rise of Skywalker, which I'm glad, because she's a very fun character, and I at one point considered cosplaying as her. Would have been interesting, but I didn't do it. Another character, a very briefly seen character in The Force Awakens, is Bazeen. I think I'm saying her name right. She is when Rey and Finn and Han go into Maz's castle, and she's the chick with like the black, like leather suit, black and white striped, kind of jagged stripe suit on, and like the head thing, headgear, black head, not headgear, but like thing over her head, a hood, tight hood. And she's sitting with this ugly big guy, and she goes off and she tells the First Order that the droid is there, that BB-8 was there. And her name's Bazeen. They don't ever say that in the movie, but there's an entire short story kind of novella about her called The Perfect Weapon. And it's very interesting. It's a good read. It's a short read. It's written by, what's her name? I forget her name. Deborah. Okay, pause while I look this up. It is, the name of the book's The Perfect Weapon. The author, please hold. Delilah Dawson. I apologize. I should have known that. I've read more than one of her books. And I should have known that. Anyway, so The Perfect Weapon is by Delilah Dawson. Talks about Bazeen. So it is more about a small character that we would not have known much about otherwise. So another character that I don't know that you would have expected to learn more about, but Admiral Holdo, played by Laura Dern in The Force Awakens, which I absolutely love her look. I love purple, and like her gown is so nice, and her purple hair. She's just great. She is actually an old friend of Leia's, and you kind of see that a little bit in The Force Awakens when they have a conversation right before Leia gets on the ship and they know what's going to happen. And she is a much bigger character if you read Leia, Princess of Alderaan, which is one of my favorite Star Wars novels. I love it because you get to find out about Leia before she starts working for the Rebellion, before the original trilogy, before the very first Star Wars movie. And you kind of find out what Leia was like and her relationship with her parents and what Alderaan was like. And she actually becomes friends with Holdo in that book. And it's a great read. So go out and read it. But I love that you get to find out more about some of these smaller characters from the movies in the books. So, all right. So about The Force Awakens, I think that's most of what I wanted to say about it. But I had somebody that actually left me a message. This is Sean. He is at Sean, Shaun, Wars on Twitter, and he actually left me this message before I stopped doing the podcast, and he expected me to do one immediately after the Return of the Jedi podcast, and he expected me to do one about The Force Awakens. So he left me a message, and here it is. Here's what Sean has to say about The Force Awakens.
Hey, Cheryl. It's Sean from Sean Wars talking about The Force Awakens. It's a movie I really enjoy. Going to the theater to see it on opening night after I never thought I'd see a Star Wars again was really awesome. But it really invigorated my Star Wars fandom. I was always a fan, and I would say I love it, but The Force Awakens got me into all the other things that I really love about Star Wars now. The books, the comics. Prior to that, I never really got into that, but it just like reignited that love for Star Wars that I have and that I know everyone feels, no matter how they feel about the movies. I was a teacher when it came out, and so in 2016, it was my first summer as a teacher. I didn't have to work. I started reading the books like crazy. I watched all of the Clone Wars, and I just became a huge fan after that. So I'm really thankful for TFA and Star Wars being back. Cheers.
All right. Thank you, Sean. So I love it, what you said about the fact that watching The Force Awakens got you into reading the books and watching The Clone Wars, because you guys know, if you listen to my podcast at all, I am a big proponent of all of that, because I love the fact that we have the movies. I love the movies. The movies started it all. The biggest part of the Star Wars universe is obviously the movies, but there's so much more out there, and there is so much that people are missing out on if you don't read the novels, if you don't read the books, if you don't, even the comic books, if you don't watch The Clone Wars, if you don't watch Rebels. There's so many more stories out there in the Star Wars universe if you don't pay attention to that and you just watch the movies. And so I'm glad that, because you saw The Force Awakens and it got you into that, that somebody else gets to experience some of this. So that's awesome, and I'm glad. So thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in and leaving your message. All right, so let's move on. Let's talk about The Last Jedi. So The Last Jedi is my favorite movie of the sequel trilogy, which is kind of funny, considering I think it's also the most controversial of the sequel trilogy. And I did not like it the first time I saw it. I went to see it in the movie theater. I saw it the first time, and I just didn't like it. It makes me laugh now, because that movie made me realize, I like to tell people that hate on the prequels, or they hate on anything about Star Wars, that I don't have expectations when I go into a Star Wars movie. I really don't. I think it was maybe even when the Clone Wars movie came out in theaters, and there were things about it that I didn't like. It's far from my favorite of any of the movies, but I was just excited to have more Star Wars content. I love the Star Wars universe that much. It's all just interesting to me, and I just wanted more Star Wars stories, and that's what we were getting. So I was excited about that. And so I didn't think I ever had expectations of Star Wars, and I went into The Last Jedi and I came out of it knowing that I do, and I did. And, I love how I didn't love it at first, because I think it's the same reason that other people still don't like it. I had somebody who I know that is a very, very avid Star Wars fan, that it made me laugh, because we had a conversation before The Rise of Skywalker came out, and she claimed that The Last Jedi was unrewatchable, is the word that she used. And that just made me laugh, because for me, I didn't like it the first time I saw it, but the more times I saw it, the more I liked it. It made me think. It took all of the expectations that fans had of what they thought was going to happen in it, and it totally flipped them on their head. And the Star Wars fandom needed that. They had these expectations. They thought they could write the story. I mean, they could. Go out, write your own story if you don't like what's happening. That's kind of how I feel about anything. Any book or movie, if you go see it and you don't like it, I mean, don't feel entitled that you think it should have gone a certain way because that's the way that you think that it should have gone. You aren't the one to write it. You aren't the one to tell the story. Go out and make your own story if you don't like it. It's funny to me because that you could see anything that way. Stories are told by a writer. They're told for us to enjoy or not enjoy. If you don't enjoy it, then fine. I mean, whatever. Maybe don't see anything else by that director or that writer. But it's, you know, it's not up to you to write the story because you didn't write the story. So anyway, I just thought that was funny that she said it was unrewatchable. But then the more I watched it, the more I actually really liked it because it made me think. I like it's that it starts right after The Force Awakens. It's interesting to see literally minutes. The end of Force Awakens is Rey on Octu. I think I'm saying that right because they don't ever say it in the movie. Octo. Funny because that is what I named my island in Animal Crossing for obvious reasons. So The Last Jedi starts right after The Force Awakens. And watching these again in order made me realize that Rey's development, like people have said, I've heard people say, was really fast. She went from being this scavenger on Jakku, not knowing anything about the resistance, really, and just kind of being roped into it because BB-8 found her, and she was roped into this mission with Han and Finn, and then she ended up, like, being sent by Leia to take the map to go find Luke and basically train with Luke on Octu. And that is really fast. If you look at it, it's like, wait a minute. This girl was just a scavenger, like, not that long ago, and all of a sudden she's training as a Jedi? What? But yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm not sure what I think about that, but whatever, you know, kind of Luke did the same thing. He kind of got roped into it too, found a droid, and here I am, part of the rebellion. So anyway, again, I love how The Last Jedi took all of the expectations that we had as fans and just flipped them on their head. But the movie itself, it's a great movie. It's actually a really good movie. I know some people don't like the Canto Bite story. I'll talk about that here in a second. I love the visuals in The Last Jedi. The throne room scene with Rey and Kylo Ren where he kills Snoke in this red room is just the coolest looking thing. And there's so much to analyze about that scene, especially before you've seen The Rise of Skywalker. But it's interesting to see them fighting together. And you think, okay, you know, they're going to work together. And then, nope, they're not. But I love that scene. That's probably one of my favorite scenes in the entire sequel trilogy. I like the visuals on Crait. I mean, how cool is that? It's a salt planet. It's a salt planet, and where the salt is scraped at is red, and it looks gritty, and it looks like blood and red powder, and it's a really great visual, and whoever came up with it, I think it's a really cool idea. I also like another part of the movie where Admiral Holdo is on the Resistance ship and she jumps into the First Order ship and there's an explosion, but it is completely quiet instead of being this loud explosion. And I think that that was really cool and that was very effective because for me, I think the first time I saw it, I was like, wait, what? You know, is there something wrong with the sound? It kind of takes you off guard if you don't know what's coming. That was cool. I know. So like I said, a lot of people don't like the Canto Bite story, thought it was completely unnecessary. Like Rose as a character is unnecessary, whatever. I liked it. I think what I really liked was Canto Bite as a planet because I think that, it's like the Vegas of the Star Wars universe, obviously, like casinos, gambling, it's like Vegas, but there's all these planets and different cities and places in the Star Wars universe that are so different. And they're fascinating to me. I mean, you have Coruscant in the prequel trilogy, which is a major metropolitan city. It's like New York City. You have Tatooine as a desert planet. You have Jakku as a desert planet. You have Hoth as an ice planet. Endor is a forest planet. Alderaan and Naboo were very pretty planets. Cloud City on Bespin. Scarif was beaches. I love it that we get to see all of these cool different planets. And I love that Canto Bight as a city is this Vegas casino place. So I appreciated it. We get a Luke Leia reunion, sort of, in The Last Jedi. So I liked that. It was cool to see them together again. Of course, Luke wasn't really there, obviously, but, you know, Leia knew that, I'm sure, but they got to kind of see each other and interact again, and that was just fun to watch. We also got the return of Yoda. All these things are just, if you're a Star Wars fan, of course you're going to love to see these characters again. Why wouldn't you? Something that I thought was kind of weird, though, the introduction at the end where Poe introduces himself to Rey seemed kind of random and out of place. And I think that that was actually in the novelization for The Force Awakens at the end. I've read both of them. I've read all of them. And it's not in the same movie that it's in the novel, which is kind of strange. Because you'd think by the time the end of The Last Jedi rolls around, Poe would have met Rey by then. But I don't know. Whatever. It's there. It's kind of weird and awkward. But so that's kind of my thoughts on The Last Jedi. It's my favorite. I love the visuals. I think it's the most interesting, honestly. So moving on to The Rise of Skywalker. Now, when I went to see this movie, the first thing that kind of hit me about it was that the movie was so fast. Like, stuff is just happening left and right from the very beginning of the movie. It is very fast-paced. Like, stuff is just constantly, constantly happening. It kind of slows down, eases up a little bit. I'm glad because it needed that. It was just really fast at the beginning. There's a lot of fan service in this movie, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I like, and I know that this was intentional on J.J. Abrams' part, but in The Force Awakens, we see Finn and Rey together. Poe, we don't see a lot of. He's kind of separated from them. We think he's dead for part of the movie. And then Rey is separated and Finn goes to rescue her. And then in The Last Jedi, Rey is separated from everybody until almost the end of the movie because she goes to hang out with Luke. So in The Rise of Skywalker, J.J. Abrams brought them all back together. So we see Poe, Rey, and Finn all back together, working together. And I really do like their interactions. I think it's cool. I just thought that that was cool that they were back together and we get to see them all interact with each other. Because I thought there were some really good lines. There's some really good scenes together. So I liked the storyline of wiping C-3PO's memory. I thought that was a great focus on him. I thought that that was interesting. It's not the first time it's been done. We know that his memory was wiped at the end of Revenge of the Sith. Also, I love the scene. This is another one of those scenes I was talking about liking with Poe and Rey and Finn interacting. When they go to, I'm forgetting the name of the planet, but where they run into, they go to find Babu Frick and Zori, and she lets it slip that Poe was a spice runner, and he's like, Finn says something about it, and he's like, oh, were you a stormtrooper? And Rey mentioned something, and he's like, oh, were you a scavenger? And I just love Poe. He's probably my favorite character in the sequel trilogy, just because I love his interaction with Leia. I love their relationship. I think he's a great leader, but I also love that he doubts himself, that he is, you know, he knows he's not perfect, and he is tempted to let that keep him from being a leader, but he's honestly a great leader, and he's just Plus, he's hot. I mean, Oscar Isaac, yeah. So, I honestly, okay, so I would love to see, again, talking about Zori Bliss and Babu Freak, which I was actually supposed to meet Zori Bliss, one of the people I was going to meet at Ace Comic Con, but that didn't happen. But I would love to see some more of the story, like Poe's experiences as a Spice Runner and how he came back to the Resistance and came back to his roots. And yeah, I'd love to see more of their story. So hopefully that might be a book, or maybe it's a comic book. Maybe it's just something I haven't read yet and it's out there. I don't know. So the Knights of Ren, I legitimately think that they were very much wasted in this entire trilogy. Like, they didn't really serve a lot of purpose. I know that they've been expounded upon in at least the comics. I know that there's Kylo Ren comics out there. I've read some of them. And they are talked about a lot more, fleshed out a lot more in those comics. But as far as in the movies, wasted. We didn't even see them in The Last Jedi. Didn't really see much of them in The Force Awakens, other than like a flashback scene. And we still don't see that much of them in The Rise of Skywalker. So what's the point? So I feel like they were kind of wasted. Again, there's a lot of throwbacks. There's a lot of fan service in this movie. Return of Lando. I mean, it's cool. It was great seeing Billy Dee Williams as Lando again. I know there's kind of the story at the end about how he is potentially Janna's dad. And it's kind of thrown in there in an awkward sort of way that makes you not realize that's where they're going with that. But if you read the novel, you kind of find out more. So, we get to see Luke and Han come back to talk to Rey and Ben. I thought that was fun and cool. I like the scene, where Luke is raising his X-Wing out of the water on Octu for Rey to use to fly to get back, and how it mirrored the scene from when Luke was on Dagobah and he couldn't lift his X-Wing out of the water. So I thought that that was a cool thing to throw in there. At the end, obviously, Chewie is given Han's medal that he got at the end of A New Hope. He's given that from Maz Kanata. It was in Leia's possession. She was holding it when she passed away. So, yeah, that was cool. Everybody always talks about, you know, how come Luke and Han got medals and Chewie didn't get one? Well, Chewie finally gets his medal. It's Han's medal, but he gets a medal. So Kylo's redemption. So this is interesting. So again, like, Kylo was never the main character in these movies. He was the villain. He definitely developed a following. There's lots of people out there that love Kylo Ren for sure. His redemption story was good, but I wish there was more to it. He has this great conversation with Han, and it's good. I loved that scene. Loved how it mirrored the scene in The Force Awakens with Han and Kylo. But what I didn't like was that we got nothing after that. I mean, granted, we didn't get nothing after that, but he's going to find Rey, and he literally doesn't say anything other than ouch for the rest of the movie. And I don't like that. I feel like that could have been done better, but that's the only thing we hear him say. Whatever. That's how it ends. It ends how he ends. It ends. And I think, so some people might think his redemption's because of Han. Some people might think his redemption's because of Rey. But watching all three of these movies as a trilogy, I really think that a big part of his redemption came because he honestly realized that he had been manipulated and he got tired of that. He felt like he was manipulated when he was with Luke, I feel like. And then after he found out that Snoke was actually, well, he felt like Snoke was manipulating him anyway. And then he finds out that Snoke is actually just a puppet, basically a clone, made by the Emperor, made by Palpatine. And that even hearing Vader's voice was really Palpatine. And so I think he just was tired of being manipulated. And he realized that, you know, what he thought was true wasn't. And so he went back to his roots. And I like that. I think that's a good reason. He didn't just do it for Rey. I'm not really much of a Reylo. I guess I kind of was after The Last Jedi. But I kind of got out of that because I was okay that they didn't really, I mean, other than the kiss, but that I was okay that they didn't get together. But it didn't bother me that they kissed. I wasn't bothered by that. But I also wasn't bothered by the fact that Ben died. What would have happened? You know, it's not like he can just go back to the Resistance and be like, hey guys, what's up? I'm with Rey now. Or, you know, I want to, you know, step into my mother's footsteps. And that wouldn't have happened. Definitely just wouldn't have happened after everything that he did. So I feel like the fact that he died, he had to. I mean, is all this Ben Solo deserved better? Not so much. I mean, yeah, he was manipulated, but he still made his own decisions. It's not like he was brainwashed and he had, it's not like he didn't deserve the consequences of his actions. He did. So I'm not bothered by that. I'm also not bothered by the fact that Rey was a Palpatine. I know there's people out there that think that it was more powerful to have Rey be no one, or nothing, and to overcome that. But when you watch the sequel trilogy as a trilogy, and you know that she was a Palpatine the whole time, I mean, I feel like there's power in overcoming that, too. So that's just my opinion. I mean, I know there's other opinions out there, and that's fine, you know? You can see it however you want to. That's just how I see the movie. So anyway, like I've said, there's some differences. Watching them all together, it's it kind of makes all of the movies more meaningful. You get to know Poe a lot better. So when you see him in The Force Awakens, you're like, oh yeah, I kind of know this guy. And then knowing that Finn can sense the Force, that that's what he was trying to tell Rey, which has been confirmed that that is what he was trying to tell Rey during the whole movie. But knowing that kind of makes things seem like a different light. Also knowing that the Emperor is behind Snoke kind of changes things. Knowing that Ben, also known as Kylo, and Rey are a dyad in the Force kind of makes you look at things differently. Knowing Rey's background, that her father was who he was, that she's the granddaughter of Palpatine, you know, kind of makes you see things differently. And knowing, like, well, so people don't like, a lot of people thought that the Palpatine twist was kind of hokey, but I feel like when you watch it all as a trilogy, it's not. Like, it just kind of puts a different spin on the other movies. It makes you see them differently. So yeah, I mean, that does, the Palpatine twist didn't bother me either. So all of these movies I kind of had to see multiple times, and I think I've started to like all of them after seeing them multiple times, and they kind of make sense, and especially watching them together, they make a lot of sense. So there you go. That's what I think of the sequel trilogy, what I think of all of the movies. So kind of a long podcast today, but we covered a lot of material. So that wraps up my film discussions for all of the films, the 11 live-action Star Wars films. So I'm not sure what's next. I would like to go back to my weekly episodes, and I need to figure out what I'm going to do next and start some planning if I do that. So send me your ideas. You can find me on Twitter at Jedi Fangirl. You can leave me a voice message. I love getting a voice message on my podcast. I love, putting them into the podcast because it breaks it up to where it's not just me. I know I need to start planning some guests, and do that. But yeah, at this point I'm open to ideas and suggestions, and I kind of have some spinning around in my head as well. But in the meantime, also go visit my website. It's JediFangirl.com. There's a lot up there. You can buy merch. You can read my blog. You can find links for the podcast. Lots of stuff. Yeah. So that's it for the discussion. Hang in there. I'm going to talk about some current Star Wars news here in just a second. All right, well, let's talk about some current Star Wars news. So what is going on in the world of Star Wars this week? So I guess probably the biggest thing is that next week we have May the 4th. It is Star Wars Day on, I think it's Monday, is that right? Double checking, I should know this, I should be prepared. Yes, May the 4th is on Monday, and May the 5th, Revenge of the Fifth, is on Tuesday.
There is some stuff going on. The Clone Wars, the last two episodes, our next to last episode airs on Friday on its usual day. And then the season finale, the series finale, is on May the 4th. So we have that to look forward to. There is a Mandalorian documentary series that starts on Monday, I believe. I don't know too much about it. I know that it's a series that we're going to get to see behind the scenes a little bit in The Mandalorian to learn about the making of it. So that should be really cool. Also on Disney Plus on May the 4th, The Rise of Skywalker is coming. So you'll be able to go out there and watch all of the Skywalker saga on Disney Plus now. Obviously there's some other sales, some things going on. I know Disney has some special merchandise that's getting released. If you go to shopdisney.com, on May the 4th, there are, also some other stores that are having sales. So if you go to starwars.com, I think there's a whole list of deals and discounts and things going on for May the 4th. So, there is also sponsored by ReadPop, I think, and New York Comic Con. If you go out to the website for New York Comic Con, there's like a virtual con going on May the 4th and also the 5th. Some things like rewatches of the Star Wars movies, talking to some stars that I don't remember all of it, but it sounded like a pretty good lineup. Kind of a cool thing to participate in if you are stuck at home and not able to go out and do any of the May the 4th festivities that we would normally have. So kind of cool. So check that out. So like I said, that's you can find the information about it on the New York Comic Con website. So go check that out. So for me personally, I have been, since I actually, there's a couple of trips that I had that got canceled, so I got some money back. And I have ordered a couple of different Baby Yodas. Child. I ordered the Child Build-A-Bear that was released. I found out about that pretty quickly, so I was able to get in and get an order made. And that should be here, I think, next week, next Friday. And then I also found one of the Mattel ones at Best Buy that I pre-ordered, and it's supposed to ship by next Friday. So maybe I should do some video reviews. We'll see. I actually, like I said before, I'm kind of open for what's next. I'm thinking, obviously, there's a lot of content out there with the last season of the Clone Wars that we've been seeing. I don't think I haven't done any podcast episodes yet about The Mandalorian. Haven't talked about that much yet. I talk a lot about the books. I know I could do some book reviews, talk about those. So I've got a lot of options, and I pretty much love to talk about it all. So leave me messages. Tell me, what do you guys want to see? What do you think would be interesting? What would you like to hear me talk about? Or even, you know I need to get out there and I need to collaborate with some of the other many Star Wars podcasts that are out there, the people that follow me, the people that I follow and talk to on Twitter all the time. You guys have been so supportive. I know some of you have asked me about coming on your podcast. I would love to do that. I just have not made plans to do it yet. So hit me up again. We'll see what happens. Kind of looking forward to figuring out what's next. So, and with that, I think that that's pretty much it for this one. This podcast, I think, came out a little bit longer than most of them just because we actually talked about three movies instead of just one. But I think I still clocked in at under an hour, so hopefully you don't get too bored. But I think that's it for this week. So it's good to be back. Thank you guys so much again for your support, especially all of you on Twitter that chime in and let me know that you're still out there and you're just waiting for my next episode. So here it is. Thanks everyone for listening. Hopefully I will be talking at you again next week. I'm just not sure what about yet. So, and always, may the Force be with you.